Welcome to Bump Business. Thanks for joining us here on the program. My next guest was recently named Business Executive of the Year at the 2022 Cannabis Business Awards, along with his brother Jake. Their company has the most widely distributed cannabis brand in North America with 18 licensing deals in the U.S. and Canada. I'm here with co-founder and president of Binsk, Alex Pasternak. Thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, welcome back. I know I spoke with you back in October 2019. Part of the USCC Expo experience. And if you want to catch up on that episode, you can listen to it right here, cannabisradio.com. Just look for the show. It is there. And we hope to have future episodes of the experience coming soon because we are looking to get our conference series back up and running in the very near coming months. Stay tuned to Cannabis Radio for more information about that. So first of all, Alex, Green Market Report spoke with you about Binsk earlier this year and spoke about your unique branding philosophy and non-plant touching IP model, which has made you successful. They went on to write this, quote, "We bring the intellectual property to a partner from them to exploit in a specific territory. Currently selling 150 plus SKUs across six states. That's California, Florida, Colorado, Nevada, Washington, and Michigan, with licensing deals six more states. This IP-based strategy has paid off handsomely for the multi-state operator, with headquarters in Denver and Miami, and you said that the best is to come. So I wanted you to expand on this approach to create partnerships coast to coast."
Yeah, absolutely. So in short, what we've created is the first true IP company in the cannabis space. And so we, if you think about it, are software, and we work with the plant-touching operator, who in this case is the hardware. So think about an app on an iPhone. We are the app, the license holders that cultivate and produce, they are the iPhone. And so they need the apps and we need the iPhone. So if, in short, just to get right to it, the operators build out their facilities and then they figure out which branded products are going to consume the production lines, right? But what will the face of this material end up being? And with the amount of awards that we've won from the cultivars and the genetics to the edibles, because Binsk doesn't focus on one product category, but we have the true portfolio with different product categories leading revenue for us in different states around the country, it makes it a beautiful marriage and a true win-win for both sides. So operators, cultivation groups, and processors are looking for, they're looking for trusted brands that they can count on for supply chain production, SOPs, sell through, sales, marketing, distro, everything. And what we offer is basically the most cohesive turnkey licensing deal where we license all of our intellectual property to these operators.
And just so we can give people a little more understanding, I'll take you from the cannabis business executive. The idea is that unlike product MSOs or vertical MSOs, which typically own or operate oodles of licenses in various states, you don't own a license in any state. And the idea is to bring the intellectual property to a partner for them to exploit in a different specific territory. With that said, can you give us a little more background as to how that makes, just to wrap my head around the idea where instead of going for the licenses, it's the intellectual property that's the real X factor?
Yeah, George, we realized that Coca-Cola, for example, doesn't manufacture all Coca-Cola products anymore, right? Oreo doesn't manufacture all of Oreo cookies anymore. And what I mean by this is obviously they have some facilities that they produce their own, but then they outsource production elsewhere. And so what we realized early on is because we are Binsk and because we produce these products and have all the intellectual property and SOPs for all these products, doesn't mean that we need to be the ones that are growing and operating the brand in each of these territories. And with federal legalization somewhat on the horizon, we didn't want to have hard assets all over the country. And so what we decided to do was build an asset light model that was focused around intellectual property and allowed us to build out really the first true IP based cannabis brand. And that's kind of how it makes sense from both sides. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah. Well, and I'm also looking forward into what you were talking about when it came to opening up in Colorado. You said that the concept there is Gucci wouldn't be Gucci if they just sold men's jackets and shirts. They need to sell active leisure and formal. They really need to have every single piece in order to be a fully scaled brand. The other thing is, I guess for me, does it benefit some of these companies with the licensing because of how much struggle there is? Plus, there's the issue of social equity. How many licenses are being set aside for social equity that if this model can be replicated, if it's a model that can be replicated, and that if this is something that MSOs and operators can do something with, especially when you don't have anything right now in terms of any interstate commerce relief that maybe California could have with neighboring states, or having to go ahead and set up shop and replicate the same model, the same amount of overhead, and they also have to deal with the same amount of compliance issues. I was talking to another guest on our grassroots marketing series, a veteran cannabis operator in California, about these very topics. What, I mean, is this something that IP helps to solve?
Yeah, well, so let's rewind the tapes a little bit. The first thing that you brought up was the Gucci reference and the amount of SKUs that we have. So let's go back to that for a second. What I meant by that, and just to clarify so that we're all on the same page here, most cannabis brands play in a certain lane. So Wana is to gummies, where Kiva is to chocolates, where cookies is to flour, where Raw Garden is to vape, right? Each brand stands for one product category for the most part. And Binske has the true first cannabis portfolio of the industry with different product categories leading revenue for us in different parts of the country, which is the reference to the Gucci store. Because when you do walk into a Gucci store, they do carry shoes, socks, shorts, pants, belts, hats, sunglasses, right? The whole way through. Anything that you could want to find in a shop, you could find branded Gucci. And so we feel like if we're going to be a real brand that's going to be playing in the high-end lane, the luxury lane, the connoisseur lane, then we want to make sure that what we're doing, you know, fact checks with that. And so that's kind of the a lot of the inspiration for building out a full portfolio in the space. Separately from that, the other thing that you brought up of, is this something that is being looked at elsewhere or should be considered elsewhere, this licensing model? You know, for the most part, any operator now at any capacity in the cannabis industry is working usually with some branded products. Obviously, the only other thing would be wholesaling like turkey bags, which is clearly a big part of the industry. But for the most part, most of these operators are producing branded products. And so the question becomes is, do you want to make those branded products your own? And do you want to call them, you know, George's Cannabis, Alex's Cannabis, Tom's Marshmallow Cupcakes? Do you want to start a new brand and create new demand for your brand and go figure out marketing support for your brand and sell through and shelf space? Or do you potentially want to work with a brand that already is well established and a brand that already has all their ducks in a row? They have a massive marketing team to support the sell through and trusted products that are award winning products for 7+ years in the industry. So it ends up being a win-win for both sides, as I said earlier, because what these operators are getting is a sexy, sophisticated brand on a silver platter ready for production and distribution.
I appreciate you clearing all that up. Let's talk about now. There was a point that about how cannabis companies do not necessarily look at California as a growth market. Obviously, we're looking right now as really the Northeast. That's really the real beacon of growth right now in the industry since legalization finally is now rolled out and being implemented. You, although Binske has already entered California as of 2021, California Business Executive went on to talk about how companies are beginning to look elsewhere around the U.S. for other opportunities. And you said this, quote, a lot of people, whether it's the correct decision or not, are choosing to focus on other markets, like Missouri or New Jersey or New York. Getting to be first in market in some of these new markets is a higher priority than trying to elbow for shelf space, end quote. So I want to know about the progress being made with your team in the Northeast when it comes to taking this model into a very hyper active growth in the Northeast, especially with New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, we thanks for bringing this up. We have a lot going on out there, and that is so clear that I'm actually moving myself and relocating to the Northeast in a couple of weeks. So I will be getting ready for the brands plural, because we acquired a second brand recently. So we have two brands now, Binske and Oni, which I'll get to in a minute. But we will be launching the brands in the Northeast later this year and into early 2023. Couple new territories that will turn on for us, including Mass, New Jersey, New York looks like full steam ahead there, and then potentially Maryland, Delaware, and a couple other Illinois and potentially Ohio. So the Northeast corridor as a whole looks to turn on for us in a matter of a couple months. Genetics are going in the ground in a couple territories, and so the timer has officially turn on, and as soon as the timer's on, we know that we will have branded products in the marketplace, X amount of months later. Usually that's like 3 to 4. So incredibly exciting time for us as we execute on a couple other licensing deals to bring, again, the brands to the Northeast. And I am excited to have myself there to be fully immersed in the emerging industry that the market is going to bring. So a lot of upcoming cannabis events in New York, and excited to be out there while New York State turns on for the first time over the next few months and into 2023.
It's funny where there's a lot of people, I know, just being South Floridian myself, and knowing the amount of New Yorkers that made their way down, especially during the pandemic, as well, the changes, started to see this a little bit of that change now, where it's that traditional thing where New Yorkers come down. And it's like, okay, you know what? You're either gonna love it here, you're gonna want to be here the rest of your life, or, you know, I was here for 2 weeks for vacation, I've had my fill, I'm gonna go back up there. It's like the thing like that. But so would it be safe to say that really to stay focused on what's going on in New York and those markets, that's what the need for you to go ahead and set up shop up there yourself? Or hopefully it's not because Florida, you know, did you wrong.
No, this has nothing to do with anything wrong with Florida at all. It's just the evolution of the brand, right? We started in Colorado, then we were in Colorado, Nevada, then we were in Colorado, Nevada, Florida, then we were in those three plus California, then we were in Michigan, Washington. And so I was originally in Colorado upon inception of the brand back in late 2015, early 2016. Then moved out to California for the launching of the brand in California. And now it's time that California is continuing to move forward. But, the bulk of the product line is available, and we have a well-established sales team, and we're in a couple hundred doors in California. Now it makes sense to kind of get out to the Northeast for the next chapter of the brand's growth and evolution. So it's more just, I think, the executive at the company that's not yet married and has the luxury in terms of the ability to just pick up and move a little bit quicker than some of the others, maybe.
Excellent. But it's quite an approach to going to take to continue to follow what markets are very important to what Binske is doing. And you're just following along to make sure you're on site, you know, feet on the ground there, wherever it needs to be, almost like a military kind of feel to it. You know, you got to be where the action is.
Yeah, you want to be where the action is. Exactly right. And I am excited to be out there because there's going to be a ton of action there, and you can see the numbers, and you can see what the projections look like. And so there's nothing to do but be excited for the future of it.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and go to commercial break. When we come back, I'll be back with more with Alex Pasternak. We'll talk about the crafting of the intellectual property portfolio to sync up with demand. We'll talk about that and more after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm with Alex Pasternak, co-founder and president of Binske. And we started talking about how you crafted the intellectual property portfolio to sync up with demand. This Cannabis Business Executive article, which was really comprehensive, I'll definitely go ahead and take a look for it. You mentioned that, quote, the concept was that in a mature marketplace, if we're looking into the future and understanding what the demand on the products is, and if we take some of those principles and apply them to emerging markets, we're going to be ahead of the curve, end quote. So this proactive approach to market expansion going forward and the approach you're taking, talk to me about that.
Mature marketplace, if you think about it, is going to have, I was in a dispensary this weekend, and it's Pop Rocks, and it's cotton candy, and it's wine companies and beer companies, and there's just so much product. And if you think about it now today, if we were going to start a beer company in today's world, it would have to be a watermelon sour IPA or something really unique and exotic, if you think about it in that way. And California is a state right now that the watermelon sour IPAs of the world are what stores are now putting on their shelves. And so in looking in new markets, emerging markets, for example, Missouri, or for example, in New York right now, as the first couple dispensaries turn on in the recreational landscape in New York, there's not going to be sour watermelon IPAs available, right? It's going to be who has the first amount of, who has actual biomass, who has product. Obviously, the form factors of the different vapes and concentrates and everything as they become permissible with different extraction methods, the range of products will increase. But at the very beginning, it's really just who has the supply. And so it's really interesting to look at new emerging markets and then obviously existing markets. So while California is not doing so well and it's not looked at as maybe a growth market the way that you mentioned earlier, still a really important market, right? When you still go to Abbot Kinney or shop on Melrose or you're at Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, you know, it's still the largest cannabis market in the world. And it's still tracking to do, I think, over $7.5 billion this year in just the legal California market. It's something that you can't obviously shy away from, but you look at these new emerging markets and your ability to be first to market is something that is just incredibly valuable for brands like us to be in that position to ever have.
You made mention of about the products you have right now, a full complement of flower, edibles, vape pens, and concentrates. In December last year, you announced a new line of cannabis-infused coffee products utilizing Intelligentsia coffee as a key ingredient, as well as Binske's prized varieties of cacao exclusively sourced from Peru. And the licensing process you mentioned on this was that, quote, we take our partners or licensees from start to finish. We provide them with the necessary information and IP around the genetics, the process, what plants like what, and what are the cycling times, the nutrients, lighting specs, etc. Then on the extraction methodology, whether it's CO2, butane, or ethanol, our extraction methodology is really focused on what is a downstream product. So talk to me about the fostering of new partnerships that will stay consistent to a similar model of the IP portfolio.
Yeah, the Intelligentsia one is a little bit different than a traditional licensing deal, obviously, as it's a fellow brand that is not in the THC space. Intelligentsia is, in my opinion, one of the four or five most reputable coffee brands in the U.S. in terms of just high-end micro roaster and quality of bean, quality of the pour, and quality of their product. And so living in L.A. for basically seven of the last 10 years, Intelligentsia has a pretty strong footprint out here and came across the brand. And while we were looking to expand the chocolate portfolio a little bit, we were looking for the next SKU for our chocolate bar to be an espresso bar or a coffee flavored bar. Decided to reach out to Intelligentsia, and over the next couple months after reaching out to them, we ended up securing a licensing deal to be able to produce branded Binske products featuring Intelligentsia coffee beans. And so as a huge coffee snob myself and a diehard Intelligentsia fan for years, to be able to lock in a partnership with these guys and start distributing products that are co-branded has been an absolute dream come true. We are currently selling our Binske Intelligentsia coffee chocolate bars with 100 milligrams of THC in a couple markets around the country. It's turned into a top seller, and it's one of my favorite SKUs that we have. So that has been an incredibly exciting licensing deal to go from basically cold call reach out all the way up to a executed licensing deal that is in the marketplace right now.
There we go. So we're going to go back to another commercial break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. And I'm going to bring up part of a little bit of our interview from 3 years ago when we talked last. I want to go ahead and just go ahead and ask you about some forecasting that we had you do back 3 years ago. And I want to bring it up full circle, full speed to today. Again, we're here with Alex Pasternak, co-founder and president of Binske here on Blunt Business, back after a short break.
rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Alex Pasternak, co-founder and president of Binsk. And I mentioned back in October 2019, I had you featured on our USCC Expo Experience series. Like it's been forever with the pandemic and all that happened to us, right? But I asked you about a forecast where you did see cannabis consumption trends moving over the next few years. And you kind of put this picture in our heads. You had said, from a consumption perspective, cannabis is going to be a lot like wine. Your budtender will be like a wine sommelier. She'll invite you to sniff and taste cannabis before you buy it. While the average consumer will understand what terpenes are, what they do, why they matter. There will be cannabis brands like us who celebrate genetics, craft, and experiences. And there will also be cannabis brands who create the boxed wine equivalent for cannabis. And every major city will have consumption locations within 10 years. You'll be buying cannabis edibles at Whole Foods and marijuana lotion at Sephora. Mom will be as likely to post cannabis memes as they are to post wine memes today. In general, I predict and hope we are moving towards normalcy and acceptance for cannabis as a whole. So I know the whole consumption lounges and all that area, and the real normalization, that's going to take a little bit down the time. But when you look at the experience for people that are buying cannabis and going into the experience for the dispensaries and what they're experiencing now, how much progress has come out in those 3 years?
In terms of, I think, the experience that they're having on the retail side of the coin, I think it actually has increased in the last 3 years. It's interesting to hear that quote for you to read it to me.
Yep.
I think the retail side of things, it has actually increased. Where I don't think it has, and where it's frustrating that it's been 3 years in terms of the movement that we've had, is on the consumption front. You know, California right now is really just starting to get consumption up and running, and no one that, for example, I know currently really goes to consumption lounges to actually hang out. There's zero cool factor right now in going to a consumption lounge, and the only probably handful that exist in California. That looks to change over the next couple months and years. I believe that there'll be a variety of new consumption lounges turning on, including in West Hollywood here in LA.
Yeah.
Colorado, for example, just rolling out consumption right now. Vegas just rolling out consumption this past year. So the consumption side of things is frustrating because of how long it's been taking. But I do hope and I do believe we're kind of on the cusp of a change there.
I also feel like with the comes to consumption lounges, that you can put that hand in hand with, say, Kava or Hookah Lounge. They're just a smokable lounge. As opposed to anything else. I mean, maybe not, you know, attach it to something like cigars, but I don't know why anybody really hasn't put that concept and just put it all together in one shot.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're just talking about a Cava bar down in Key West with some of my partners. I think everyone right now is trying to figure out what are these other ingredients, supplements. You know, someone said to me this morning, what is Delta 8? I think there's just a ton of confusion right now about THCV, CBD, CBG, CBN, and Delta A. Kind of think about it. There's so much stuff going on, so many different, you know, acronyms of different meanings of different compounds and cannabinoids that no one really actually knows what these are. And so in one state, Delta 8 is selling like crazy. The next state just fully put the X on selling Delta 8. So there is not a lot of uniformity across these different states right now in terms of what is being sold and which cannabinoids are being focused on. I do think that people are trying to your point, build the right cocktail of putting them all together and figuring out which ones are the best for which occasions.
So there's a whole lot with going on with Binsk. We haven't had a chance to talk enough about the product line, but you're in so many states. 18 areas in terms of the U.S. and Canada. So real quickly, while we go ahead and wrap things up, take a minute to go and send people over to the website, binske.com, BINSKE.com. And just a few highlights of some of the products that people should look at. Should they go to shop on the website? And anything you could tell us about what you have in terms of the expansion, any future plans? Fill us in.
Yeah, we're actually making some moves outside of just North America. So a couple of international markets that we should have a press release to announce what we're going to be doing in some of these key international markets. And what's really cool about the international markets is obviously the ability for import and export material. So our ability to turn on the genetics in some of these new international markets that are turning on allow us to then export product out of there. So that's something that we're really excited about over here, and something that we'll be able to share a little bit more info on over the upcoming weeks, actually, so we can circle back on that. George, really, it's head down, focus. The six states that we're already in: Colorado, California, Florida, Michigan, Nevada, Washington. We are close to those 1,000 dispensaries across those six states. We did make an acquisition a couple months ago of Oni Seed Co., Oni Hash, a legacy brand that has been around for 7+ years. We are launching Oni right now for the first time in the legal recreational markets. And so you'll see Oni products come to the marketplace first in California in less than a month, and then Colorado, and then you'll see it in the Northeast. And so really just heads down and executing on our two brands right now, and continuing to just try to get as many of the branded products available into as many of these new markets that continue to unfold.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you taking time out and talking to us. Best of luck in your trip up to New York and where things go in the markets there. Binske.com, BINSKE.com. I'm here with co-founder and president Alex Pasternak. Thanks for being on with us, and we'll definitely keep in touch again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
My pleasure, and thank you, folks, for listening to another Blunt Business. Remember to subscribe and like the show. Make sure you go ahead and follow the show. Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Google, everywhere you find podcasts, and we'll talk to you next time. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.